I'm Vin.
I'm Sori.
That's Sparky. All right, so the next one's mantra. It's a like an instrumental.
Okay. Thank you.
people are going to say schism. It's actually schism.
That's what I said.
You are a schismatic and a heretic. There's a great schism in the East versus West side of the church. Oh. Yeah, it was before the Reformation. It's a big, giant disagreement in the church. It's called the Great Schism.
Actually, I do remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So this is back in the day that Roman Catholics would say, "You are a schismatic and a heretic."
Is that when they burned him at the stake?
Well, yeah. Which, it's true, Martin Luther, he was schismatic. He was schismatic.
Yep.
So, Schism, what'd you think of this song?
Oh, I think it's a good... It's actually, I think, a good relationship song.
Yeah, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is a ton of fucking wisdom in this record, man. It's insane to me. Okay, we're a rock and roll band. Let's make a song about how important communication is. Communication!
I did have a question, though. Okay, so he says, mildewed and smoldering, fundamental differing. Pure intention, juxtaposed.
Set in opposites of each other.
We'll set two lovers' souls in motion.
Yeah.
So he's basically just saying differing ideas and whatever is going to set you guys apart if you don't communicate.
Well, if you have good intentions, but they're juxtaposed, so like you and the other person have good intentions, but you're coming to completely different conclusions, then it'll set you in motion like apart from each other.
That's probably what happens every time you have a fight.
It's testing our communication. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so it's like, okay, there's a lot of things that are going on here, like, because, but it's interesting, it's pure intention. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of my principles. Anytime, like, you run into a situation, is to assume the best of the other person. Right? Like, mm-hmm. you like, that guy we were talking to yesterday. When I said, I just assumed that you must not have seen that other part.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. there was a situation, and I was talking to my brother.
Right.
And I was like, you must not have seen that, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But that's such a cool line, because it's like, if you go with the presupposition that the other person has pure intention, if they come to a different point of view than you, if you assume they have pure intention, then one of two things is true. Well, there's a lot of things that could be true, but this is basically how I break it down. One, the other person is sincerely wrong. Like, they have pure intention, they're just wrong, and it's up to you to guide them into seeing, you know, the picture accurately. Or, you're the one who's wrong, and you need to listen to them so that they can guide you into seeing the picture accurately. You know what I mean? So, when he says pure intention, juxtaposed, will set two lovers in motion, disintegrating as it goes, testing our communication, there's a lot of things, like, people talk about how important communication is, but there's a lot of layers beneath communication than just the words that are spoken. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're disagreeing with somebody, do you presuppose that they're an idiot? Do you presuppose that they're disagreeing just to be disagreeable? Do you presuppose that they're disagreeing with you because they're just a bad person? And if they were a good person, they would agree with me. There's a lot of things that go into communication. Mm. And it dictates how you hear what you hear.
Yep.
Because if you're assuming that I'm saying that you're a bad person, or if you're assuming that I'm saying that you're incompetent, or you're this, or you're that, then it doesn't matter what I say, that's what you're going to hear. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people are like, oh, you're not communicating with me. Well, they are communicating with you, it's just you're hearing something different than what they're saying. Because you have a presupposition that colors your understanding of what they're saying.
I don't think I go into a disagreement with us, like, thinking anything necessarily about you. I think I go into the discussion thinking what you're saying about me.
Right, well, your own preconceived insecurity. You think that I'm reflecting that back to you.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you're saying. So if you say anything negative, I automatically think that you're just saying what I already think about myself, which isn't maybe necessarily what you're saying. So then I already feel upset about it before we even start the discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this at the Gojira video, where you were like, how do you change so quickly when we have a conversation?
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, but there's the other side of that too, right? Which is like your assumptions about yourself. there's so many things that like go to screw up communication. Mm-hmm. You know, because you have assumptions about yourself then, and then that colors what you're hearing from the other person.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that in the garden we had perfect communication?
I think that's the point of
sin entered the world, and
I think that's the point of the end of chapter 2, where it says, the last verse in chapter 2, it says, the man and the woman were naked and they were not ashamed.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think the nakedness there is like complete nakedness, which is, yeah, their bodies were naked, but they were also like, there was none of that. Because they didn't have any insecurities to have to get past. And of course, Eve assumed the best of Adam when he was communicating. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, you know, no, Eve, that's not how you, you know, pick this fruit. Or no, Adam, that's not how you, you know, till this garden, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, oh, okay, well, you figured something out before I did. What is it? Let's go. There's none of that. There's none of that ego, mm-hmm. you know. But that's kind of what starts happening when sin comes in, there's a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of shit that you actually have to sift through in order to have real communication, mm-hmm. to really experience what a person is saying in the pure essence of what they're saying in the moment is a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
You sounded like Jordan
gift.
Peterson when you just said that. Anyway.
It sounds like me.
Right. I believe he was born.
Stop stealing my material! I don't know how you accomplish that shit, Mr. Peterson, considering...
You don't know we exist.
You're much more older than me. He found a time machine. Him and Carl Jung. Yeah, but...
Yeah, I think that another part of it, too, is, like, when your own... Like I was saying before, your own insecurities dictate to you what the person's trying to say. Like, for instance, you know how, like, our daughter is, like, so confident, like, when she does stuff? Like... Even, like, she's, like, loves gymnastics, but it doesn't even matter, like, or ballet stuff. If she makes a mistake, she assumes her mistake looks awesome.
Right.
So even when she's done and she does something, like, that's, like, didn't really fit in with the thing, she looks back at you like, I'm badass, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, maybe if, like, so if Eve didn't have any insecurities when they were in the garden, then if Adam was saying, hey, there's a better idea, she's not, like, automatically getting on the defense or whatever, you know, and some of the communication can be more honest. Do you think that insecurity is rooted in ego? Is it always? Is insecurity always pride? Or is insecurity, can insecurity be fear? Or, well, I know it can be based in fear, but is fear coming from pride? Or, what do you think?
Well,
or is this not even a discussion for here?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the... Well, again, we can't seem to reach an end, crippling our communication.
Yeah.
The light that fueled our fire then has burned a hole between us, so we cannot seem to reach an end. But yeah.
The ending, too.
I think that that's probably accurate to some degree. Like, of course, you know my theory on the world is that pride and ego is the root of all of our problems.
Uh-huh.
So obviously I'm going to say yes. Like, because most of the time, like, when you're talking about insecurity in a relational sense, think about it. Insecure, not secure.
Yeah.
So security equals safety.
Yeah.
So lack of security is fear.
Yeah.
Insecurity is just another word for fear, is what I've always said. But what are you not secure?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
What are you not secure about? Well, you're not secure about some aspect of your ego being exposed or confirmed as whatever. So, like, for example, if you say, I feel bad about myself, and then if I get into a conflict with somebody and they confirm that I'm bad, then what's the next thing? So like, for example, if you and I get into a conflict and you say, Vin, you do this, this, and that, and it turns out that I do that, that, and that, that means it's true. I'm that type of person.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next step is to either deny it, mm-hmm. right, or... I can come back and say, well, you did this, this, and this.
Uh-huh.
Well, you weren't trying to attack me. Mm-hmm. You were just trying to communicate something to me. Mm-hmm. But because I can't just absorb it and say, whoa, I need to change, I'm not going to hear a word you're saying. I'm going to take that as you're not trying to help me become a better person. You're trying to attack me. Mm-hmm. So then I'm going to counterattack you. And then now we have this kind of back and forth when in reality it's just an exercise in ego. I'm trying to protect my ego. My ego is saying, no, I'm not like that. I'm an awesome person. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to strike back at you and go after your ego. and you know, make you have to defend yourself. Now you're defending yourself, so now, like, we're completely off the track.
Oh my gosh.
And now we can't communicate with each other. You know?
Yep.
And it's interesting because he says the song starts with "I know the pieces fit," and it ends with "I know the pieces fit." Mm-hmm. Which I think it's an important song because it's like, you have to, because I watched them fall away, right? In other words,
you saw two pieces go.
Right. So the fact that they fell away means that they were together at one point. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important.
Oh, yep.
I think that's an important assumption in a relationship or anything when you're having a conflict, if you're in a band, if you're at work, if you're whatever. It's like, look, there was a segment when we were working pretty good together. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So let's go. Let's like reverse engineer to get back there, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, I think that this is like a huge, and like looking at things as like a test of your communication. Like, what if you looked at a fight or a conflict instead of saying "I had a conflict," say, "Okay, our communication's being tested here." Or if you had a fight and you were to say, "Okay, where is the breakdown happening?" And you could kind of step out of yourself, or I could step out of myself, or the work people could step out of themselves and say, there's a breakdown in communication happening somewhere. Where is it? And nobody worries about ego. It's just, we're going to figure out where the breakdown is, and then bang. Like, remember that time we had that long-ass talk? Mm-hmm. And you were like, I'm out! You kept trying to, like, abandon the conversation, and I was like, no! Mm-hmm. You know, it was a very, like, arduous task, but it was very important for us. Mm-hmm. It was an important moment for us, you know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. like, eventually we got to the root of things that, you know, in that particular instance, I needed to change because we were at a certain place where it just wasn't realistic to try to expect certain things, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep going. I had something to say, and then it just, like, floated away.
What was it?
Oh, yeah. Well, when we were having that discussion, I just kept wanting to get out of the discussion because I hate... You know how you hear people say all the time, like, oh, I hate conflict. That's why I don't... Whatever. But a lot of times, I don't know... Sometimes I don't think that it's necessarily that somebody hates conflict, but it's just that they're, like, maybe the fearful thing or something like that. But I guess... You always look at somebody that avoids conflict or doesn't like conflict as a virtuous person, or that's how it's always been presented. So anytime I used to, like, deal with things growing up, people would feel like I was a confrontational person and I liked debating and I liked arguing, but it wasn't. It was just that I wanted to, like, figure it out and, like, get it fixed and stuff. And now, like, I'm, like, not like that anymore. I mean, I don't want to be, like, I just want to escape the discussion the minute it starts. I'm like, the second it starts, I want to run away from it. And I guess a lot of people... Haven't you heard a lot of people say that? And don't they present it like it's a virtuous thing?
Oh, I'm not a confrontational
person. Yeah.
I just...
And if anybody wants to work things out or take the time to bridge that communication and figure it out, they're deemed a bad person.
Oh, yeah, you're argumentative.
You're an argumentative person. Yeah. And
yeah.
I feel it. And I, like, know that in my head because it's been said to me so much. But, like, when you start trying to figure it out and communicate it, I start feeling like... You're arguing with me. Why are you doing this? Why do you keep saying that over and over again?
Yeah. You know, we always talk about, like, there's the thing with the man translator or whatever, mm-hmm. where the woman says, I'm fine, and then it gets funneled through the man translator, and it's like...
If you freaking leave the house right now,
if you leave the house,
I'm
going to hate your guts forever, and yep. then the guy goes, oh, shit. And he goes, oh, no, honey, I don't want to go play tennis with the boys, or
right,
I don't want
right.
to go fishing.
Yeah.
And, like, it was presented as this funny thing, and I remember, we were talking about it. And, like, to this day, like, you still laugh at it, and I'm like, that's an awesome way to set yourself up for divorce. Because... It creates this... It assumes that we can't communicate with each other. It assumes that you can't yeah. have that uncomfortable conversation about, no, I don't want you to go fishing. And him having to say, well, which I don't go fishing. There's nobody I want to hang out with outside of you people and sorry anyway. But, But that whole... I never liked that whole thing. And everybody thought it was funny. It's got like a million hits. I'm not going to link it on YouTube. But it's like... To me, I'm like, I don't want to like operate with that assumption that men and women have this unbridgeable gap. They can't mm-hmm. talk to each other because you know, women stereotypically, and forget the stereotype of the woman who doesn't want to, sure, there's women who want to go fishing and men who want to stay home like me. I want to stay home, you want to go hiking. So I get that, but what I'm talking about is like the, we assume that I'm fine doesn't mean I'm fine, and then we assume that, you know, this doesn't mean that, and like we're assuming all this like double-speak in communication, and I think that that's terrible. So I, you know, yeah. We talked about that, yeah. And like I'm like, I would rather have the confrontational discussion because that's what leads to healthy relationships. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, that couple needs to figure out the schedule. That's the better option. Figure out the fucking schedule. Mm-hmm. You're grown adults. Like, figure it out. Talk. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
But it becomes, you know, oh, you're just being argumentative and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to me because there's like characters in the Bible who argue with God and God responds. He doesn't say, "Hey, you're just you're just being argumentative, Job," or "You're being argumentative, Habakkuk." Or, you know, "You're being argumentative." Like, these guys, like, go after God. Like, Moses said, like, "I didn't bear these people. You bore these people. Kill me and take care of them yourself." Mm-hmm. God doesn't go, "Hey, don't yeah. talk to..." You know, he goes back and forth. He goes, "All right, Moses, what you want to do? Okay, you need some help?" You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So if God's willing to have that discussion, like...
how much more should we?
You know, like, I mean, come on. He's the Almighty. You know, so it's...
Yeah, and you want to talk about a bigger, like, mindset difference. Like,
right.
We're always like, there's so many differences between men and women, and women are emotional, and men are logical, or, you know, yeah. And then that's insulting because it's like, well, no, we're logical, too. I mean, we're not complete friggin' just emotions.
Right.
But there's a bigger difference between mankind and God, and the minds that have to come together for us to understand each other than there is the difference between a man and a woman.
Well, of course, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, I'm a big believer in the divine inspiration of the Bible because of the way that God is presented. Because there's no man mm-hmm. who would invent a God that will sit down and condescend to argue with yeah. his creation. Mm-hmm. Not from a like monotheistic way where there's one God who has all this power. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a difference with you know, polytheism where like the gods were kind of limited. Mm-hmm. In their power, like there was like yeah. this much.
That's why you had to have so many of them.
There's so many of them. The gods yeah. were kind of, they were kind of like basically man 2.0. Like mm-hmm. you know, as a guy, they were like mutants. Like, oh, this one can control the weather and this one can control fire. You know, they weren't mm-hmm. God in a monotheistic sense where you right. put all of the power. That's one of the reasons that you had multiple gods was because human beings couldn't comprehend an idea
that all of that
of a divine being who could just run the show by himself.
Yep.
And so, like, monotheism has the sort of most powerful God. You know, that's why you have the term most high. So, you know, you have a most high who's, like, arguing with people. And you know, read Ezekiel, where God says, you know, "You're saying that my ways are unjust? Aren't your ways the ones that are unjust?" Like, he's going back and forth. Like, he's saying, "Are you serious? I'm unjust? What about you? Are you serious?" Like, that was one of my favorite... Is it my ways that are unjust, O Israel? Or is it not your ways that are unjust, yeah. O Israel? Or in Malachi.
See how you say that? When you explain that, it's so like, oh my gosh. Like, I always thought, my ways are not unjust. I'm thy ways. You know, like, it's just like this weird conversation. Like, but then when you explain it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was the way that conversation was
going? Well, no, that's what he said. He says, "Is it not your ways? Just get a new heart." That's what he says. Like, I'm not the unjust one. Or Malachi. In Malachi, he says, "You said harsh things against me." Like, God's saying, "You've been unnecessarily harsh to me
when
you talk about me."
When he says that, that means he's relational.
Well, yeah.
Because if he's like just up there and doesn't care about anything, then he doesn't care what you say.
Well, yeah, that's lover's language, like,
yeah,
you know, and that's an extremely vulnerable
yeah, thing
position
to
put. There's your mean Old Testament God people where he says, "You said harsh things against me." And then the people say, "What have we said to you?" And then he responds. You know, he basically says, "You basically said that it meant nothing to follow me, and that I reward evil people and I punish good people and you know, all that." And then they go back and forth. And then at the end of the book in Malachi, you see after God presents his arguments, mm-hmm. he, you know, there's a couple arguments that God presents in Malachi. "You've stolen from me. You've dishonored me." He's like, doesn't a king get respect from his people? But "You've dishonored me." They say, "How have we dishonored you?" And he goes, "Well, you did this." Mm-hmm. And then he says, "You've spoken harshly against me." And they go, "How did we do that?" "You did this." And at the end of the book, the people get together, they go, all right, God, you're right. We shouldn't have done that. That's terrible. We're sorry. And then God says, you guys are my jewels, and I'll take you up to be with me, and blah, blah. They have a conflict. They go back and forth. They argue, and they come to a conclusion at the end, and the pieces fit together. And God says, you guys are my jewels, which goes back to the, you know, the lead and grudges, which turned to gold.
Wait, what did the people say back to him?
They said, we're sorry. They basically wrote a book in the covenant. They said, we're so sorry. We're never going to do that. We're going to love you. We're gonna honor you. We're going to stop saying harsh things about you. And then God says, they'll be my jewels when I go to, you know, whatever. So, so like, that's kind of my paradigm on conflict is to go that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how God operates. With his people. So it's like, you know, whatever you want to say, like, oh, that's just a guy that wrote that, fine. But that to me is the archetypical way that relationships are supposed to work, is you gotta kind of do that.
Well, it takes humility on both sides, I guess, because the person has to humble themselves to say, okay, I did the wrong thing and I'm sorry. And then the person has to humble themselves to not hold a grudge and hold that person hostage to keep apologizing or keep giving, and the whole grudge one from the beginning.
Well, yeah, well, the poetry that comes from the squaring off.
Yeah, squaring off between, like,
right. The poetry that comes from engaging in the conflict, finding beauty in the dissonance, right? Like, squaring off, and he's so smart, square and circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're circling each other and you're squaring off.
Oh,
And you're having that fight.
Yeah.
But there's poetry and beauty in it. Because these are two opposites that have to find a way to find some way to work together, and if you can stick with it and stay in that conflict, you're gonna find beauty in it if you're looking for a solution. But if you're just looking to feed your ego, then of course, you know, you're just gonna fight and argue and whatever. But if you're looking to actually get to a deeper level of communion with the person. Which is interesting. It's communion. See, this is like, we say words and we don't understand the root meaning of the words. Think about it. Communication, communion, community. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all in the same root words, and it's about togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
So communication is just speaking togetherness. That's what it means. And so, like, conflict and things like that are a part of communication in order to maintain community. That's the whole point. So it's doomed to crumble unless we grow and strengthen our communication. Like, you can't have communion without communication.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. This part right here, like...
Yeah.
Cold silence has atrophy. You know, like, I can't do it the way he does it. It's beautiful. And it says, between supposed lovers, that's a challenging phrase.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah. I got from that, like, he didn't say between lovers because he's saying supposed, because it's like, supposedly you are, but the way you're acting doesn't look like that you are.
Right.
But if you try to work on this communication, then it does show that you are actual lovers and not just supposed lovers.
Right. Yeah, cold silence has a tendency to atrophy.
But then I think that the ending, and I know the pieces fit, I think that says, it's not supposedly you are, like, the pieces fit, like, you worked and you can continue to work.
Yeah. But but see, that's the thing, like, people misinterpret it as being cold-blooded. But I know who I really love and who I am acquaintances with. So if I really love the person, I'm gonna, like, wrestle and have that argument. But if I don't love the person, I'm not even gonna argue with you. I'm just not gonna talk to you. Because I don't love you. And I don't feel bad about that, because I can't love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not me. So, you know, I had a conversation with a person, and there was some sort of, it wasn't, if I look at it really, it was not an irreconcilable difference. It wasn't. It was just something where I wasn't going to put you in a situation where it would have been a 2-year project.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With these people. And I wasn't going to put you in that situation
because
I was doing the math and I'm like, I love story. And it's just not worth that type of effort. So it's true. It's true. Like, if, but that's why, like, I try not to throw around words like that with people and try to make people know, like, and I'm looking back and I'm like, I probably didn't do a very good job of, like, letting people know, like, exactly where they were.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think I did, because I had those categories in my head, and it seems cold-blooded when I activate it, but it's not. It's just, you know, I understand that this takes a lot of work, and there's only a few people in life that you can really do this well with. I think that's one of the reasons that we're so terrible at communicating, is because we try to like maintain all these relationships at these levels of depth at the same time, and I don't think that that's possible.
Well, I think that you remember like back like when you really could only communicate with who lived next door to you,
right?
It limited your amount of contact.
Right.
So, but now we have so much, not just social media, but you, I was thinking, you know, like I had to go like an hour's drive away, and I thought, okay, well, and I'm trying to time it because I want to know how long I'm going to be gone from you. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess if by the time I get there and do this, I'll be back probably in like an hour and a half. And so like, but I was thinking this trip literally wouldn't have happened. Like I wouldn't be getting the thing that I need to get. But because I have a vehicle, I can hop in the car, I can go there, and I can come back, and I can be back in, you know, an hour and a half, when a journey like that would have taken forever. But because we have vehicles, we're in contact with way more people. And then we have, you know, phones, which contacts more people. And then we have social media, which friggin' broadens it. Like, we've talked to people in friggin' Tokyo, you know, from this channel. So it's like, it just broadens how many, you know, relationships you can have. But I think... At the same time,
there are different levels of depths to them. And
yes.
So to me, like, this person had moved away. And I'm like, you moved away. You're hundreds of miles away. Like, if this was 100 years ago, that'd be it.
Mm-hmm.
One letter or whatever.
I was going to say one letter.
But they're like, oh, we Skyped and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I get it. Like, we Skyped. But, like, naturally speaking, you cannot maintain very, very deep, deep, deep to the core relationships where you do this shit.
Right.
Like, this is the only time in human history where you could say that.
Well, I think,
you were hundreds of miles away,
you're writing a
letter that wouldn't get
you're not going to have a fight anyway if you're writing friggin' letters.
Yeah, you're off.
Those things don't really matter, but when you're close, then you're going to have...
Yeah, technology has given us all the illusion that we all have these really deep, significant relationships, and you only really have them with about two or three people.
You know what's crazy? When you think about that, so if confrontation is supposed to be reserved for your close relationships, when you think about some of the things that people like put out there in the comment sections and stuff like that,
like,
instigates these fights, and then people are kind of like going back and forth.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the stuff, they resolve it.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy because you don't have any emotional connection with the person to strive to have that communication, but still some people come to that. But then other people, I think they're just like pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they do the drive-bys, or you know what I mean? Like, they're just, and I don't know if it's just that they are like a hurting person or an upset person, and so then they're just looking for avenues to unleash that. But at the end of the day, it's not healthy, and it's not going to make you feel any better. In fact, it's weird because you're shooting out all these bullets all over the place. But like, have you ever seen that? There was like this freaky movie that I saw one time where this person had split personalities, and like through the whole movie you think that this person has like only two friends, and then like in the end like the bad guy comes in and like he shoots the bad guy, and then he looks and his only friend is like bleeding from the chest and stuff, and like that's when he realizes that he's like all these people. And like, shoot, how was I gonna tie this in? I know what it is. Like, you're going around and you're like shooting all these random people that you don't even know, like with all of your things on like the comments, and you're being all angry. But all the while, like if you could look down at your own chest, you'd see that you're shooting yourself too.
Yeah.
Like, you're becoming the type of person like that's satisfying to you, to just go around and just say random shit to people you don't even know.
Well, that's why, you know, there's a couple people in that always leave comments, especially about, you know, our faith and whatever. And, you know, I'm completely secure in my faith, but I do want to communicate with them at a little bit of a deeper level. So I'll say, hey man, you know, let's talk. And they never want to talk.
Yeah.
They just want to, but that's what technology does. Like, people think that if they're speaking or typing that they're communicating, and that's not the same thing.
No.
Because that's a misuse of the metaphors, because words are just metaphors for metaphysical realities that are going on inside of us that we just arbitrarily say, okay, we'll call this metaphysical feeling hate, we'll call this metaphysical feeling love, we'll call this metaphysical, you know, and so, you know, which is fine, because we all kind of have the same, okay, all right, that's what that means, all right, good, well, I agree.
Yeah.
And, but when you take the soul of what the word is supposed to mean and you put it in a text box and you're talking about these major things, like, I don't agree that your understanding of atonement is right. Mm. And I say, oh, you think that that's fucked up. Okay, let's have a conversation, because I want to... Joe Rogan talked about this. Like, you ever notice on the Joe Rogan show, all these people are in his studio.
Yeah.
He flies them in. He's like, I want to feel your energy. I want to feel what's going on. I don't want to see you on Skype and blah, 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 blah.
That's true. I didn't notice
imagine
that.
The dynamics of an interview that we're doing with these people, if we could, like,
fly them in,
be with them, and like,
or
they
fly
could
fly to where they were.
And we could, it's just a completely different dynamic of communication, because, you know, the body and the physicality of who we are, mm-hmm. as human beings is part of us.
Mm-hmm. The energy you feel when you sit in the room with somebody. And
yeah, and that's why I'm saying, like, proximity is just different. If you're fucking 500 miles away, that's it.
Even, like, that... Yeah, it's true. Even that conversation that we had the other night, like, it looked to be one of those drive-by situations, you know what I mean? And then the person was talking to us, and even just over this, you could see that it was different than what it originally looked like.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There was still love vibes coming through the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he loved me.
Yeah.
I knew he loved
us.
Me. Yeah, he loved us. Yeah, he loved us. But yeah, we had a conflict with a brother, a Christian brother, and I said, okay, let's talk. Most, you know what's weird is that, on the one hand, it's like, you know, like, when everybody's getting along and stuff like that, everybody wants to talk. But when there's a conflict, not many people will sign up and say, yeah, put me on the fucking video. There are very, very few people that want to actually have the face-to-face discussion. I think that that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But yeah, me and this brother we were a complete opposite. If you just read the comments, mm-hmm. you'd be like, whoa, these guys hate each other.
Yeah.
And you'd immediately say, that guy's that type of Christian and Vin and Sori are this type of Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we got online, and we were able to talk. You know, we were able to talk face-to-face. But again, you see his demeanor.
Well,
you see his energy.
Because prior to getting on the line with him, like, because I'm the one that originally saw the comments, and I'm like, oh, what are these Christians? And it, like, annoyed me. And then I was like, I, like, didn't even want to take the time, because, like, I've had so many dealings with people that, like... They don't have your best interest at heart. They have their own friggin' self-interest at heart. And like, they'll friggin' blast you to hell. Like, anyway. So, like, I didn't know, like, what sort of a situation it was. And I was making my assumptions. And then once the person came up on camera and started talking, I was like, oh, like, his heart. Like, immediately you could see his heart and, like, just the way that he was communicating and stuff. And it wasn't even just the part where he was saying, like, oh, I really love you guys and you guys are great and stuff. It was just, even as he was communicating the other stuff, you could just sense there was just a difference. I'm like, oh, okay, I misjudged by the text.
But you have to be able to, you know.
But it was communication that got us to see, you know.
Right.
What was actually going on.
Right. And you know, no fault, none to blame. It doesn't mean I don't desire to point the finger and blame the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like... But, like, we're in a situation right now in our country where, like, we can't... We're coming... The irony of this country and just the Western world with our technological advances, and a lot of these are communication advances and information advances.
Yep. Yep.
Is that we have become so much less able to communicate with each other now than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Roseanne puts out some fucked up tweet. You can't get the tone... You don't know what she said, how she said it, what energy she was pouring mm-hmm. into that. Now, she says, I was on Ambien, blah, blah, blah. I don't really feel that way. Oh, whatever. I think the fact that you said it while you were on Ambien means that you were... That's
that's how it feels.
You know. But it's like, now, instead of saying, let's fucking sit down and talk to this woman.
Right.
Bring the person that she said that some black lady was like Planet of the Apes or something like that. Like, one of Obama's people or whatever. So, like, instead of, like...
What did you mean by that?
Getting that lady to sit down and having a face-to-face with Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking canceled the show! And I'm like, we cannot communicate with each other. At all!
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that she said something insulting. Can we talk to each other?
Right.
We can't talk to each other anymore in this country. It's insane.
It's crazy, too, because you get more? You're going to say
No, go ahead.
You know, like, we always... Whatever is out on the media is what, like, people kind of copy.
Right.
It just happens.
Right.
So, when you think about that, like, what they communicated by canceling the show, they thought they were communicating something good, like, we're not gonna accept this shit. Right. But in the end, it just teaches people, okay, cut it off. If you can't come, you know, don't, if have the don't even have the conflict. Just don't
wrestle.
It right off.
Don't wrestle. Don't have the conflict. Mm-hmm. Don't grow.
But like you said, if they would have had the show on that, and it would have, you know, communicated some grown up.
Have a fucking special and fucking yes. sit down across
right,
from
and
the
that
person.
That would have blown the whole thing
and
up.
Have a conflict. And yeah. then I'm sure, you know, there was this really, really inspiring story. And it was, there was this clip. I think I've showed you the clip of this black guy that was in a Trump rally. And he was getting escorted out, and then this redneck dude comes around and sucker punches him right in the face.
Oh, yes!
And then the guy gets up to go after him, and the security guards take the black guy out. It's a Trump rally. What are you going to do? And later, there's a trial, and the guy, now he meets the guy that he punched face to face outside of the crowd hyping him up
yeah.
and the...
Mm-hmm.
And the Confederate flag and Trump saying, I'll pay your lawyers for you and all
right,
this
right,
shit.
Right, right.
There's 10,000 people. And now he's by himself with the guy that he attacked.
Yep.
And the dude is in his 30s and this guy was in his 60s. I mean, if they were to go, they were to go 1D, I mean, you know. So now, but it wasn't like that. It was like this guy had to face this human being
yes.
who he hurt.
Right.
And the guy was, in the interview, the guy, they hugged it out.
Yep, I remember that. Did he ask him? Why did you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he said, why'd you do that? And the guy said, I'm sorry, I'm blah, blah, blah. And he was choked up. The white guy was choked up.
Yeah.
And they hugged it out. And then there were, you know, they interviewed the black guy later, and the guy was like, well, you know, people were saying, you know, how could you do that? You should have hit him and blah, blah, blah. And he basically said, I want my kid to see something that they can be proud of.
No.
And that's what we need. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's so many, okay, the guy hit you, he sucker punched you, it was wrong. Like, nobody's saying it's right, but, like, talk to him. What was
right.
going on?
Yeah.
Get an understanding. Like, can we come to an understanding? Or it, but again, this is about the ego. Oh, he hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he hit, but again, you know, it's like the grudge thing.
Yep.
Because if, you know, that's why I think it's brilliant that the song, the record started with Wear the Grudge Like a Crown, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. Because unless you let go of that grudge, you won't be able to communicate.
Yeah, no, it's
like
true.
Some of you, like, a lot of your conflicts with your current significant other is due to shit that your previous significant other did that you still haven't let go. So now you're bringing that shit into this relationship and saying, this is not going to happen to me again. The other person, what the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I am not that person.
Right.
So, like, yeah, like, I mean, we're in a really, really dangerous situation.
Even just not even significant others, but there could be something that your, you know, your parents did to you, but you're, like, putting that on the next person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, my mom was this way, and so I'm assuming that you're being this way, and
yeah.
that's not it. It doesn't just have to be relationship to relationship, but...
Yeah. And it's huge. So yeah, I mean, the key to everything is communication, but, you know, to really... be in the moment with another human being and actually know them in that moment. Like, in that space of time is like a fucking divine moment.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really, it's like a pre-fall, pre-sin moment where you can be naked and unashamed with another human being and, like, completely open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the goal.
Yep.
You know, so, anyway, I think this is a really, really good song. You know, because it has so many applications all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. All right.